This meeting of the House Judiciary Committee will now come to order. The time is now 1:01 p.m. on Friday, January 30th, 2026. We are meeting in the Grunberg Room, Capitol Room 120. The following members are present: Representative Underwood, Representative Eichheit, Representative Vance, Representative Costello, Representative Mina, and myself, Representative Gray, Chair. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. I would also like to recognize the staff supporting this meeting. We have Sophia Tenney from House Records, Kyla Tupo from the Juno LIO, and my committee aide, Dylan Hitchcock Lopez. If you need anything, please get his attention. We have one item of business on today's agenda, HB 47, Generated Obscene Child Sex Abuse Material, presented by Representative Vance. So at this time, we will go to that first item of business, joined by Vice Chair Chuck Cupp at 1:02 p.m. Our first item of business is to bring House Bill 47, Generated Obscene Child Sex Abuse Material, for its second hearing in our committee. Everyone should have the working draft CS, which was received from Ledge Legal yesterday. For the record, that would be Work Order 34-LS0334-G. Do I have a motion to accept the CS as a working draft?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chair, at this time, I move that House Bill 47, Work Order 34-LS0334-G be adopted as the committee's working document.
I object for the purposes of discussion. I believe Representative Vance wanted to give some background on the reasons for the CS, so I'll turn it over to Representative Vance to provide that information and then have the committee aide walk us through the changes.
Thank you, Chair Gray. The history of this bill has been through your work, my work, and also working with the Department of Law to make sure that we are accurately covering every statute and scenario that the Department of Law and the investigators face. And the changes come from recommendations from the department to make sure that we are not creating gaps in the coverage of the statute. And so I just want to highlight that. And we do have Ms. Casey Schroeder from the Department of Law available to answer questions. And I know that I fully support the changes in this committee substitute and appreciate the chair just simplifying rather than having multiple amendments decided to have it as a committee substitute.
Thank you. At this time, I would invite my committee aide, Dylan Hitchcock Lopez, to the witness table to walk us through the summary of changes from the previous version. Please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. For the record, Dylan Hitchcock Lopez, committee aide to this committee. To the chair, do you want to go through it right now? So through the chair, to the committee at large, there are really just three discrete changes in the committee substitute. So the first one is the addition of a new section. The section 3 is new, and it amends AS 1161-125E to provide that the distribution of generated obscene child sexual abuse material is a qualifying prior conviction that enhances the crime of distribution of child sexual material from a Class B to a Class A felony. And so you may notice it makes these two crimes now parallel each other. So each is a qualifying prior for the other, which the previous version omitted. Section 4, which was the old Section 3, it's been renumbered from the previous version due to the addition of the new Section 3. And that just is sort of has two changes in there. It amends AS 1161-127A to clarify the cross-reference to AS 1141-455A, specifically refers to the enumerated conduct in that statute A1 through 7. And that's just to clarify so there's no ambiguity of which specific conduct is being discussed in the statute. It also removes language regarding the quote is a representation that is indistinguishable from an identifiable child under 18 years of age from AS 1161-127A2. And that was due to the Department of Law's concern that that would could be potentially interpreted as an additional element of the offense, and it was actually kind of not necessary based on the already existing language. So let's just clarify that a little bit. And then Section 5 of the previous version was deleted in its entirety, and that was the amendment to 1161.127F, which provided the definition of an identifiable child. So that's just because of the it's been removed from the previous section, then the definition is removed as well. And those are the changes. Are there any questions?
Are there any questions about the changes in the CS? Representative Costello?
Is it possible to have the Department of Law just come up and... Thank you.
Well, at this time we'll have Casey Schroeder from the Department of Law come forward to discuss the request for changes.
For the record, Casey Schroeder, Senior Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division at the Department of Law. I agree with the description provided by Committee Aide Hitchcock-Lopez. That's the technical explanation. The overarching explanation was that all of the requests were with an eye towards reducing litigation so that more time could be spent on the actual prosecution of the target offense that Rep. Vance is trying to address rather than litigating superfluous language or things that could be problems.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for the Department of Law? Thank you so much, Ms. Schroeder. Seeing no additional questions, I will remove my objections. Any other objections? Seeing no objections, HB 47 Work Order 34-LS0334-G has been adopted as our working document. Are there any final questions for the sponsor on HB 47? Does anyone have any final comments on the bill? Representative Costello.
Thank you. I just want to thank Representative Vance for your unwavering dedication to this issue and others related to it. And I'm happily on as a co-sponsor and just want to thank you and your staff for all the work and also the co-chair for the work that you've put into it.
Representative Underwood.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gray. To Rep. Vance, I also want to mirror what Rep. Costello was saying, just anything that we can do to protect our kids is worthy of doing at all costs. So I just appreciate the years that you've put into advancing that cause. So I'm a proud co-sponsor as well, and just for all of your hard work and dedication and unwavering to this cause, I just want to say thank you as well.
Mr. Chairman, also I think one other thing that may be secondary to the primary intent of the bill This could also have a positive impact on reducing addiction to this type of exploitation, because it is an addiction, and there's going to be more law enforcement tools available for interdiction, and it could stop a lot of repeated exposure to persons that are hard to quantify today. So, yes, thank you, Representative Vance, for bringing this forward.
Okay. Do you have any final comments, sponsor?
I just want to say thank you to the committee. This was the easiest committee on any of this type of legislation, and I think it shows the work that we've continued to do in partnership with the chair, but also the awareness in the public has also grown at how pervasive this issue of child sexual abuse material is in our communities. We've seen the FBI take action on this, and I see consistent news reports about how they are addressing this issue, but we haven't seen it from the state because it's lacking. And it's time that we step up and make sure that we can provide those safe protections and not just rely on federal prosecution and show Alaskans that we really care about making sure that we're covering all of these avenues of protecting our kids, and especially with the fast pace that AI-generated images are taking shape and looking more and more realistic. the impact of, as Rep. Kopp mentioned, on the addiction is the same, whether it's a real child or a generated image of a child. And this bill addresses that. It treats them in the same manner, and it also gives the investigators the tools to not have to dissect what the difference of one image versus another is, that they can all just say, hey, this is CCM, and we're going to prosecute. And I think that should give them some encouragement. It should cut down on a lot of their time and get directly to the prosecution and hold these people accountable who are generating and distributing this material that's harming our communities, harming relationships, that do in some cases lead to actual physical abuse. And so thank you so much for this. I'm excited to move this forward.
Seeing no further comments or questions, do we have a motion at this time?
Yes, Mr. Chair. At this time, I move that House Bill 47, Work Order 34-LS0334-G, be reported out of the Judiciary Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 47, Work Order 34-LS0334-G is reported out of the Judiciary Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. I will ask committee members to stay after we adjourn the meeting to sign the paperwork. That concludes today's business before the committee. Before we adjourn, here is a preview of our next meetings. On Monday, we will hear House Bill 81, Access to Marijuana Conviction Records, from Representative David Nelson. We will hear an introduction of House Bill 4, Presidential Write-In Votes, by Representative Dan Sadler. On Wednesday, we will take up consideration of nominees to Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, Chase Berenson and Deborah Fancher. We will also hear House Bill 262, Number of Superior Court Judges, from the courts. And we will hear our second hearing on House Bill 20, Prohibition Fees, Paper Documents, by Representative Sadler. On Friday, a week from today, we'll have the second hearing on House Bill 81, Access to Marijuana Conviction Records, by Representative David Nelson. We will hear our second hearing on House Bill 4, Presidential Write-In Votes, by Representative Sadler, and our second hearing on House Bill 262, Number of Superior Court Judges. The time is now 1:14 p.m., and this hearing of the House Judiciary Committee is adjourned.